You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Dean Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Vampire Diaries After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Vampire Diaries After Show.
I just want to, like, break tables.
I want to be a vampire when we listen to this song.
Do you?
Yeah. I don't want the cure.
I want to get bitten when I hear this song.
Actually, I want to live forever. I kind of do.
There you go.
Kind of. Would you take the cure or would you stay a vampire?
No, I'd probably stay a vampire at that age and point. If I was Elena, well, I don't know. We'll talk about that later. Yo, what up, AfterBuzzers? Bing is for doing, and we are here doing another AfterBuzz TV After Show for The Vampire Diaries, Season 4, Episode 14, Down the Rabbit Hole. Kind of a weird... I get it, but it was kind of like it wasn't a rabbit hole. It was like a pit of death, and...
That's got to be a play on something else.
Yeah, I was trying to think of like a Alice in Wonderland type connection, but couldn't.
Yes, could be.
Shout out to all of our fans. We apologize for... I know you guys... or go to work on Fridays and you want to listen to our lovely voices. Unfortunately, we couldn't be here a couple days ago, but we are here and we will not let you down again. We will be back on Thursdays. Unfortunately, there's only one more episode before we go on a damn month break again.
Yep.
But I do want to give a shout out to... We're going to do it right now. I want to give a shout out to all the fans who left us comments. Soapbox Hero 81, Kelly on Broadway, Gypsy 1990, 14 Paws, Man a Little 7 Neo, and excuse my pronunciation for half of these. Khalili 76, Happy Person in the Sun, Faith in Misery, and Yelena S. If you guys want a shout out, make sure you check us out on iTunes. Subscribe to us, leave us a comment and with your Twitter handle, and we'll give you a shout out on the show. Actually, shout out to Yelena S. Before we start, I just want to kind of throw this out there. He mentioned, if you've watched, do you ever watch True Blood?
I haven't, actually.
You haven't?
I'm in love with Vampire Diaries. I don't want to see anymore.
I feel you. Marissa, do you ever watch True Blood?
Yes, I have.
Awesome. So I want you to kind of chime in on this. Yelena said, well, okay, I get the Sire Bond thing, but what if there's another way around it? If there was some way that... Because it's on True Blood, you have to be you have to go into it equally. When you're bought into someone, you have to equally be aware of it. In this case, Damon has the upper hand. So interesting, because I know in the books, a lot of our fans have just spoiled it for us. In the books, Damon takes the cure and he's healed, and then I believe he's turned back into a vampire. So that could kind of be another way around the Sire Bond, is if Damon is to take the cure and Elena turns him back, they're kind of equaled out.
Right.
So just a little...
I'd be curious to see that played out.
Right.
I really have no idea what's going to happen, what they're going to do with this. Because I feel like they're going to go against the books because everyone's expecting that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they kind of have to.
Yeah. I want them to. I don't want... As a fan, I wouldn't want to see the book.
Right.
I don't know. All right, so...
Have they been following the book a lot up until this point?
On and off. I guess that there's, like, little things that Dr. Fell. She was supposed to be Elena's best friend in the books, and that's not how it played out here. So it kind of gets switched around. But gotcha. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about Caroline and Klaus, their little love situation.
Honestly, that was my favorite scene of this episode. Because really? For like a minute, the episode slowed the hell down.
It did.
It was so fast. And then finally, we got that kind of like love going on. And I feel it.
You do?
When they're standing beside each other. I think she does too. Mm-hmm. I think that she is just like, you know, she can't let go of Tyler.
Yeah. Well, all right, good. We'll get into that in just a second. So basically, they get a phone call. They figure out they have to decode the sword.
Right. And they need the sword to decode the tattoo.
And it is in, what was the language? Was it? Aramaic.
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 Oh.
So, Aramaic. Do you know how to speak it, Marisa?
No.
No.
Is it a real language?
Yeah, it's a real language in the Middle Eastern, more around the Jerusalem area. Yeah.
And it was used back in biblical times?
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. Jesus.
So, basically, none of them can decode it. Apparently, the internet isn't that savvy, so they get like some random scripts of like flowers, sunshine. Doesn't make sense. But Klaus is there, and he knows. He just happens to speak the language.
To speak the language, of course he does.
And holds that over their head and decodes the sword.
Well, what I liked was he was like, "I have my reasonings, mm-hmm. and I'm not going to explain them to you guys why I'm helping suddenly." But I think we know what his reasoning is. I mean, in my opinion, it's for Caroline, and I think that she will fall in love with him because of this new side of him that he's exposing to her.
That's why you felt. I kind of felt like he really was like, you know what? Okay, I believe. Well, I don't know. I'm kind of on and off about it because I feel like part of it was for Caroline. But then the other half was really for Rebecca. I really feel like what he said to Rebecca was sincere.
But I think that the reason he's being that way towards her is because of Caroline. I think Caroline is like making him have this emotional side, exposing his emotional side.
Mm-hmm.
So she's getting in there, and then he's also showing that towards other people as well. But I think that she's responsible. Love does wonderful things.
It sure does. So he basically does the whole translation. We find out, you know, there's a... Where did the nautical key come into place?
The nautical key?
Yeah, that was brought up in the thing. It said something about the nautical key. Did that already happen? Because I don't remember a nautical key.
No. It must mean... It must be standing for something else.
Maybe it was because the river, that's what it was, when they jumped into the lake. Okay, so then he says that there's only one cure, which is something we've brought up before. And apparently in the book there was, and it's one flower, and you're supposed to sniff it. And then they get on the phone and call Rebecca for some odd reason.
Yeah. Why wouldn't they call Elena?
No, no, that was weird.
Since when does Caroline even have Rebecca's number? Hey, what are you doing?
Now, and we get classic Klaus where he does something nice and then craps on it and just screams out, "Rebecca, there's only one cure, so make sure you..." And they hang up the phone.
I didn't mind that. I love seeing
it. I didn't mind it either because at the end of the day, you know, what did he say? "I want you to live and die as you wish. No more games. No more fooling you. I want you to be happy." And, I mean, I thought it was cool. It was a great moment for him and his character.
Yeah. He's becoming, like, my favorite person on the show.
Really?
Yeah. I want me some Klaus now.
So you could watch the originals.
I guess I could, and I kind of saw something that it is. I saw the storyline out,
too.
And that they are actually going into production with it. So, mm-hmm. I mean, the pilot's going to be shot, and if it's picked up, it's picked up. But I guess I wouldn't mind so much, because I really do like him. But then it's like, I want him and Caroline to be together, and if they're doing the originals, that can't really happen.
Mm-mm. Yeah. I mean, unless they send Caroline over there, too, but I doubt that.
Yeah, doubt it, too.
All right, so when, with Caroline and Klaus and that whole situation, Tyler's afraid he's going to die. Klaus is going to kill him. And Caroline goes in there and kind of tries to get mercy from him. What did you think of that scene?
I loved it because I really didn't see it happening at all. And then him to turn and say, I'll give him
a head start or
again,
something.
Classic close.
Yeah. Yes, I will for you. And then she gets all happy. But I liked how she said, you know, if you love me, you will show him mercy for me.
Mm-hmm. If we're the same person.
If we are the same person.
You'll show me the compassion that I've shown to you.
And I really think people should learn from that in general, because if you enter a situation in a certain way to not just benefit yourself, people will recognize that and like you because you're selfless.
Exactly.
And you actually might get what you want out of it, which I think Klaus will.
Life lessons with Kristen.
You're welcome. Cinematicescape.com.
So... he gets out of his thing. She says bye to Tyler. And if you guys have been listening to me through all the seasons, I loved Tyler and Caroline. Something with Tyler just... I grew away from Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what
it
was.
He stopped changing.
Yeah, I don't know what it was with Tyler, though, for me personally. But I just... Even her saying bye to him and the whole, like, tell me you'll live a happy life. And that's like an escape to me because it's like, oh, Caroline, you really want Klaus.
And plus, why do you even say that? Like, okay, if I tell you, like, if we're in love and I tell you never think about me again, promise me, say it. Like, you don't actually say it. Who actually wants to hear that? I'll never think about you.
But it was also weird when he did say it and she kind of, like, smiled.
Yeah. I didn't get why he actually said that. I was waiting for the but. I'll always love you, or but I won't be as happy, or like, come on, give me something. It just didn't make sense. I would never want someone to actually say that to me.
And then when Klaus is released, he comes out and sees Caroline, and he makes the comment about the cure. And says, why do you care? You wouldn't. Would you take the cure? You wouldn't. And he said, and that's why we're alike. You like being ageless, fearless,
strong.
And strong.
I think I want that too.
To me, well, there you go. To me, that was my favorite moment with Caroline and Klaus. As far as the whole... that scene.
I mean, just their togetherness this whole episode was my favorite part of the episode, because everything else seemed kind of rushed, and I had to study it and really listen well and try to see who was who, what was going on, and
it was
really dark.
For the Caroline and Klaus, that was a good pace for the show.
It was... I was really happy to see things slow down right there for a minute, and we get a lot of reaction shots from both of them and see the emotional... that was going through in their head, the emotional process. I felt it.
Did you feel like Caroline was almost going to kiss Klaus?
I felt like she was so happy that someone kind of understood her, because we haven't seen someone kind of look at her, look in her eyes, and be like, actually, you wouldn't take the cure, and you're happy this way. Like, no one has ever studied her and tried to understand her. This is the first time I think that she's seeing someone understands her, and that's always great to, like, look at another human being, and they tell you what they see, and it's kind of what you've never told
someone.
Well, because
she's always had to understand Tyler.
Exactly.
That's an interesting one.
Oh.
Well, we need you guys to understand us, and like I said, help us out on iTunes. Download, rate, subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a comment with your Twitter handle. We'll give you a shout out on the show. Now, I mean, this episode just was all over the place.
I have all these notes.
Drama. And, you
know. I don't know what they say. I have terrible, terrible writing. Thank
we're
God
gonna
for
get
computers.
The we're gonna get the translator.
Yeah, we need to. I don't know what the language this is. Might be Bayamic.
all right, so...
not Aramic.
We get a couple scenes with Stefan and Elena tonight. Their chemistry, for me, has fully...
faded?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even want them together.
Not that I don't want them together, but I really feel it. Like, when they were sitting there and he calls her a friend. And she looked at him and she's like, friend, I like that. I was just like, no, bitch, don't like that. What are you doing? Like, tell him, a friend, be offended by that. Like,
yeah. I mean, that should actually make her want him more. Mm-hmm. But my favorite part of that whole thing was when Rebecca, her reaction to seeing Elena put her hand on Stefan.
Which did made.
I think that Rebecca was startled because she thought that Stefan was on her side, and now she sees...
on her side as far as love, or on her side as far as just being independent and wild and free?
Yeah, not wanting things for himself and not for Elena.
Okay, but not because she was jealous of, like, oh, he's mine.
I think there's always going to be a little bit of that.
Yeah. But mostly the independence part.
Mostly because then she just can't trust him because his words will always be, and his actions and words will always be for Elena.
Very, yep. I definitely agree with that. Okay, so then they find out, and they go looking for the cure because they have to go find Damon because Damon's lost.
with Galen Vaughn.
Right.
Which I was actually really upset that Galen Vaughn wasn't really more of a character. He was kind of just like this hunter, and there wasn't a whole lot going on with him.
Well, I did want a little more because I did like their banter back and forth.
I did too. And like, what? I'm not sure. He's probably not dead yet, but I was just kind of like, I want to see more. I want him to say a little bit more. Like, yes, he's been watching them all this time, and yes, he knew that there was only one dose and that he had to use it on Silas and nobody else, but like, I just wanted more from him.
Yeah, me too. Part of me wanted him to kind of realize Damon could have been cool and explain the situation mm-hmm. and kind of figured out how can we all stop this. You're all vampires, and yeah, maybe Rebecca really wants the cure, but Elena, to me, Elena would want to shove it down Silas's throat to save the world versus, right. you know, for her own sake. So I was kind of disappointed that that conversation or that Jeremy didn't take the lead on that and say, wait, we can all do this together. That kind of disappointed me.
I feel like no one has sat down and you know, written things out on a chalkboard and being like, look, let's all see what we have to do here.
Mm-hmm.
And like, no one's doing that. Well, I guess because they just now found out that there's one dose, but I guess there's just not time. Everything's like so rushed, and I'm feeling it rushed in the episode, but
rushed as far as what they're doing or script-wise?
Well, as they find out that there's only one dose, now it's like they gotta act immediately. Oh, Klaus is back in the house. Bonnie's spell's wearing off. Oh, Bonnie's there. Like, they don't even have time to think clearly because someone's always almost dying.
Mm-hmm. That is very true. All right, so Damon's stuck with this guy. He's taking him to the caves. And then as Elena, Stefan, and Rebecca are going, they send Elena down first.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was interesting when Elena said to Rebecca, why don't you leave the map with us? You know, and you mm-hmm. go first, that way it doesn't get waterlogged or whatever. How did you feel about that? Because was that Elena being sneaky, or was it just like a
Elena
comment?
Just knows not to trust Rebecca because she said, what else did Klaus say? And Rebecca didn't say, so I think at that point she was like, okay, you're not sharing with us? Well, maybe we should watch the map pictures until, you know.
Yep.
I mean, you're not going to be open, she's not going to be open, so it's give it take, and she wasn't being open with them, so I think that caused Elena to kind of close up and not trust her in that moment.
So they sent Elena down first, and that's when Rebecca tells Stefan, mm-hmm. and she's so strategic, basically telling Stefan to kind of catch his reaction as to, would you give it to Elena? Like, are you going to screw me over?
Yeah, because she was like, okay, if I feel like I should give it to you to lessen your pains, would you just go ahead and give it to Elena? And
no, she didn't say would you. She said you would just give it. And he didn't say nothing.
Yeah.
And it's so true. It's like, no matter what, you, as much as you tell someone to get over their ex, it's really hard sometimes. You know what I mean? And that was like, yeah. Twilight love, like, so that ain't going nowhere.
There might be a point that you maybe you don't, maybe you just have to accept the way things
what it is
are.
And then move on.
Yeah, but I think there's always going to be part of you that's with somebody else.
Agreed. Yeah, that's definitely true. So she snaps his neck, goes down there,
takes off. Elena somehow goes back up.
Doesn't stop Rebecca or whatever.
They have a pity party.
Real quick.
She even calls it that.
When she was inside, when Rebecca goes inside, she sees Damon. Again, here's where the writing down on the board would have been very helpful. Hey, there's a hunter here. Let's work together to stop him. Mm-hmm. Not trying to work past each other. I don't know. It just,
they're never all going to see eye to eye.
Yeah.
They all have their own reasoning and wants and desires. And
And that was a gangster move that the hunter used too. That little like.
What about those weapons? Like, wow.
Technology in the vampire world. And again, Damon.
I wonder if you know how Batman had the guy who made all his weapons. I wonder if the hunters, like, who's supplying the hunters with
these
weapons?
He's working with them. Yes. Yeah, because Buffy didn't have anything like that. We have a caller on the line.
Oh, great.
Caller, you're on the line. What's your name? Where are you from?
This is Josh from Primer Pines.
What up, Josh?
What up? How you guys doing?
We're doing great. We just watched Vampire Diaries.
Hi, Josh.
What did you think of the episode? What storyline do you want to cover?
Well, I have to cover my favorite, you know, Bonnie, of course. Ooh. And I thought the episode was amazing. It felt like a season finale or one of the break episodes that we take before we're gone for like 6 weeks.
Which
we thought it was really, really awesome. I loved the cinematography and just the darkness. It had that creepy vibe to it.
Yes, it definitely did. Before we talk about Bonnie, I want to know what you think about where you are as far as the whole Caroline and Klaus situation.
Not a huge fan of Klaus. In terms of being with Caroline, I don't know. I just felt her better with Tyler.
Okay.
I thought the Klaus Caroline thing. I don't know. I don't think it'd be right in Caroline's nature to go with someone with Klaus. You know, it's just, he's done such bad things to her friends. And I don't know how she can get past that.
But don't you kind of see a little bit of Elena and Damon in them?
Like, I do see the parallels between the two relationships, but that's why I don't ship Elena with Damon either.
Yeah, finally a Selena fan calls in. Oh my God, jeez. Finally, damn it. Yeah. All right, so what do you want to talk about Bonnie? Which, by the way, I was at the Grammys last weekend. Was it last weekend?
Mm-hmm.
And Bonnie was there. Or
oh,
Bonnie,
wow.
Cat Graham was there.
Okay.
Rocking a blonde wig.
I like it.
I didn't really, but I love you. Her dress was fabulous, and apparently she has a fiance.
Oh, watch out, Jeremy. You've got some competition out there.
But yeah, we're going to definitely try and get her on the show. She wants to come on, so shout out to Kat Graham. But go ahead. What did you think of Bonnie's storyline tonight? Which was so predictable that I knew she was going to see her Graham.
Yeah. She when she saw her Grams, I was like, I knew it wasn't her, but it was nice to see her Grams again. And I just felt really, really bad because it was like one of those moments where her and Jeremy were getting their bond back together. And while I wasn't like a fan of them, after what he did with Anna, a ghost. Come on, a ghost. How you going to get with a ghost?
All right.
But I thought they were getting back to their old bond, maybe even expanding it, getting even closer.
Uh-huh.
And then just to see like that situation at the end. And it was just her almost dying and then just watching him die right in front of her.
So,
that's pretty. How do you get over that? Like, how do you get over someone you love dying right in front of you?
Well, I mean, Jeremy's been through it how many times?
Yeah, I couldn't tell if he had the ring on, but
yeah, we couldn't see if he had the ring on. I don't know if he's still rocking that ring because he always
is
taking
the thing. The thing I was wondering about with the ring was because he came back from the dead, and because he's a hunter, isn't he supernatural? So wouldn't the ring not work on him?
No, it would work on him. The only way the ring works is if you're killed by something supernatural. So if Matt killed him, then the ring wouldn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Because Matt's not supernatural.
Oh, but I thought it didn't work on the supernatural. Isn't a hunter a supernatural?
No, because Damon's supernatural. Like, they're vampires, and it works for them.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But, okay, so with the whole Bonnie thing, I'm kind of with you. I never really liked their relationship. But lately, ever since Jeremy said no, they were at the cabin and Bonnie used Jeremy, I've really liked their bond as far as that goes. Before we let you go, as far as Bonnie's character, do you think she's going to wake up? Do we think, well, obviously she's going to wake up, but do you think she's going to have the power to kill Silas? Or do you think they're all going to have to give him the cure?
Well, Vampire Diaries fashion, it'll probably be they're going to have to use the cure on him. and the problem is going to be Catherine, I guess, stole the cure. So it's going to be that whole mission. But I'm going to get you going to try.
There you go.
I'm going to try really hard to get revenge.
All right, Josh, thanks so much for calling in. Give us your, you have a Twitter handle?
Oh, no Twitter, just Facebook.
No Twitter? All right, well, thanks so much for calling in, Josh. Make sure you hit us up next week.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. I guess we're there, so let's just get into it. I loved Jeremy and Bonnie in this, and I loved that Jeremy, when he grabbed Bonnie, he was almost her Silas. He calmed her down.
Or you mean Professor Shane?
I mean, yeah. Professor Shane. And I'm hoping that that's going to work for future things.
Right.
Hopefully he comes back and is alive. Obviously, that's next week's plot. But I don't know. I were you ever a fan of Bonnie and Jeremy together?
I just don't feel it between them, so I guess not. I liked him with his when he was with Matt's sister.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why I liked that couple. But back to the story. I liked how they didn't spend too much time on oh, this is just Silas in your head. You're not really seeing this person.
Mm-hmm.
I liked how Jeremy was with her when she was seeing him, and he was like, listen, if your Grams was really here, I'd be able to see her too. Silas is in your head. He's playing with you.
And he's playing with Professor Shane, and that's why. And that was kind of a raw moment for Professor Shane, for me. I liked when he said to Stefan, like, I have no idea. All I know is that I want my family back and that this is the way to doing it. And it's like, dude, you are so delusional. But whatever. You had to leave him there stuck. But when his wife came back.
Yeah.
And she said, no, you've already done what I needed you to do. Creepy.
That kind of shut the coffin on Professor Shane. Like, yeah, I was using you. But I liked how Stefan did. Now you have hope. Now you know what it is to feel like that you lose that hope. And Bonnie also had a great line when he was like, help me, my leg's broken. She's like, better stay off that leg then.
Yep.
That was great. She had like a Damon moment there.
She did. They went into the little tomb thing, which, rewind back, when the Professor Shane gave the tombstone to
Masuka, I think.
Which is interesting that was the whole reason needing the tombstone. I wonder what they were going to do with that.
That's got to come back.
Yeah, well, interesting enough that we find out that there was someone else on the island. Mm-hmm. And it may not be her that took the tombstone. It could be still somebody else. Catherine was there.
Right.
So she has the tombstone. She killed...
Maybe.
She killed Masuka. And then she also killed... Who was the first one when she put the hatchet in the back? Or someone put the hatchet?
I can't remember. I think it was just another one of those Masuka types.
So it could be Catherine, because technically she did need Jeremy to go into the tomb, so she needed him alive.
But there's got to be something missing that we don't know, because they were saying how the tombstone is made up of Katsia's blood, which was necessary for a magic circle. But we have no idea. I mean, maybe Catherine knows more. She's been alive the longest, right? So maybe she knows more than everybody, and that you need all these things. I'm not sure.
And she sure would know more than
anybody. Or what if they're trying to, like, multiply the dose with the tombstone or something, make more of it? Maybe that's why she wants it.
And that could be a really good thing. Actually, one thing I really like that Josh said is that Catherine steals the cure. Which, to me, I don't know why Catherine would want to take the cure. Because she doesn't have anybody to grow with and whatever. Maybe she just wants to die.
Maybe. I mean, we don't know. She's been watching everybody from behind the scenes, but I feel like she knows more. She has another plot. And I think she just wants to be needed. So now everyone's going to go after her, you know, so it's going to bring her back and they're going to need her.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe she just wants to be part of something.
I'm glad. I really like her back. She's a very interesting character, especially now that Elena is a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. As far as Elena walking in on, well, I guess it wasn't that, it was Catherine walking in, technically, and feeding Jeremy to Silas. That was creepy, like just the black arm coming up and then him biting on his neck. And
that was rough for me, that scene.
Yeah. I'm sorry for the dog. My dog Rex is in here.
Rex has a lot to say about
Rex
this part.
Rex is very into Vampire Diaries.
He was
right
into
now.
This moment.
Yes, he did not appreciate what Catherine did. So he basically is supposed to drain the hunter or Jeremy of his blood to unfreeze him, which kind of didn't make sense to me either, because how was he already able to bite into him?
He wasn't, but that first they gave Silas a little bit of blood. Catherine did, or the hunter did. No, the hunter, Galen Vaughn, was the first one to give him a little bit of blood, so he was already kind of like regaining strength. And then when Catherine bit Jeremy's neck, she then pushed Jeremy's head down on Silas, and that's when Silas started getting a lot of blood and a lot of strength and was able to hold on to Jeremy.
Okay, I can ride with it.
But I liked that they were going to try to steal the cure without waking him, and then they realized that it was like fossilized in his hands and that they had to wake him up, because Bonnie and Jeremy were never planning on actually waking him. They were just going to take the cure.
Very true. When, now let's kind of, before we get back to the ending of it, to go into predictions, rewind to when Rebecca wakes up next to Damon and says, you know, you're kind of turning into a halfway decent person. And Damon sort of realizing, I don't know what Damon realizes in that moment. If it was more he was saying, like, they're meant to be with each other, or, you know what, I need her to wake up and realize what she really wants.
I think he's also kind of sick of the Sire Bond and everyone believing it, and I think that he wants to know that what they have is real.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's kind of like he can never be fully happy until he knows the truth. And he said that, you know, she's like, oh, you're giving up, Damon, and he's like, no, you know, I'm just starting to make peace with the fact that I can't control everything. And he really can't. You can't make someone love you, and you gotta just let them go on their own if that's not the case. I mean, why would you want someone that doesn't want to be with you anyway?
Because he's Damon and he's confused. And
I don't think
him and
does.
Rebecca would be an amazing couple, I think.
Oh, I would hate to see that.
Really? Why?
Oh, I just want to
I just
with
feel
Elena.
Like they're kind of. You what? You'd
I just
like
want him
with
Elena.
Oh, God, I can't.
I want Rebecca with Matt.
I do too. I don't think that's gonna happen, but I do want them together. All right, so Jeremy is getting the blood sucked out of him, and Stefan, Elena come in, semi-save him from Catherine.
Yeah,
and,
sort
of. Yeah.
No, wait, they don't really.
Yeah, they don't really, but that's where it's going to lead into, I'm hoping and assuming, because they find his dead body, which takes us into predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Now, this is where I'm confused, because next week we have Elena and Stefan talking about, he's not dead, you can't, like, so obviously they find Jeremy's body. I'm assuming Bonnie is going to be okay.
Well, I think she's missing, because Elena's like, we need Bonnie. Give me Bonnie. We need to find Bonnie. And they're like, Elena, you know, you're delusional. You're not believing that Jeremy's dead. You need to surrender his body. So I think they need his body in some kind of circle with the tombstone, with the cure. I don't know what's going to happen, but Bonnie, I don't know where she is, but it sounded like Elena didn't know where she was.
And so, okay, if Silas is drinking Jeremy's blood, is he going to be awake next week?
Oh, he's awake.
Is he smart enough to know, oh, I need to take Bonnie with me? Or did he, you know, fight Catherine? Like, these are the questions that I'm thinking about. Like, damn you, Vampire Diaries, for ending right there, because it was just getting amazing. And next week's going to be, y'all really, they know exactly when to stop the episode and then go away for a month.
Oh, yeah, they do.
So where's your mind going with this as far as next week? We're going to pick up and they're going to walk in and just see Jeremy's body on the floor and everything else is gone?
I don't know. Somebody has his body. I guess Elena does. Elena has Jeremy's body because she's like, I need a witch. So mm-hmm. she must have Jeremy's body, and she thinks that Bonnie can bring back Jeremy. She's not believing he's dead. And then they're trying to convince her to surrender his body. But to who? To Catherine? I feel like Catherine's the know-all, and she's going to be actually helping Damon and Stefan. I can't see her going against them.
Well, obviously, she's probably not going to get the cure, or if Silas maybe takes the cure and doesn't give it to her, then I could see her wanting to work with him. But as long as she has the cure, she's gone. She's out of there.
We don't know why she wants it.
That's very true. Ooh, imagine if she wanted to cure Elena.
She doesn't want
like
to
there's
vampire.
There's only one bad bitch here, and it's me. Well, I don't know. I'm super excited. We will be back next Thursday, promise. Make sure you guys follow us on AfterBuzz TV on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Make sure you hit us up on iTunes. Download, rate, subscribe, leave us a comment. And then also, make sure you guys check out Serial Buddies, The Adventures of Serial Buddies, produced by Kevin Undergaro, Maria Menounos. Tons of celebrities in it. It's hilarious.
So funny.
It's in select AMC theaters. What is it, serialbuddies.com, Marissa?
Yes.
It's being released March 8th.
March 8th at a theater near you. You can follow me on Twitter at DJ Jesse J.
You can Bing my blog, Cinematic Escape, or you can follow me at Cinematic Escape on Twitter.
Until next week, same time, same place.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.